So a lot of people are talking about...
Did you wait for the
phone? Oh, bollocks.
How difficult is it? You only told 1 minute previously.
I mean, hailing fumes, man. Look, radio fume. Nobody warned me about this, incidentally.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Helmet.
Okay. Just fucking tell me about Myth TV, man.
Still rolling.
Still rolling. I think this is what they call an outtake.
Yeah, I think it could possibly be an outtake.
In the industry, it's an outtake.
In the Log Radio studio.
Are we ready?
As we'll ever be. Well, it's been a long time coming, but here it is, season 2 of Log Radio.
Are we all supposed to fucking say something now?
Professional.
You see, we sound too good. Because he's too bald and too tall and not man.
Can you be too tall and too bald?
Hang on a second, where the hell is Matt?
I've killed him and stuffed him in
the
freezer.
Who the hell are you?
I'm his taller, better looking brother.
You look like Who the hell are you? Where's your monkey?
You look like you've eaten that as well.
Eaten him out.
Oh, God. Oh, there. Let me eat that.
Take a slice of Matt. You're in the queue.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Aid standing in for Matt while Matt's on his honeymoon.
Hey, everyone.
Aid is a lot taller and a lot balder than Matt.
And significantly more handsome.
I disagree.
Taller than Ronnie Corbett competition, though, really. Yeah, let's be honest here.
Yeah. When you're talking about Matt, not much taller than Ronnie Corbett competition. He's a gnome, isn't he?
He is a gnome. Yeah, gnome 2.8, in fact.
Inches tall. Log Radio, Season 2, Episode 1. Why are we calling it Seasons? Is it because we want to be like the West Wing?
You said we had to call it Seasons. No, everyone else is going to call it a series.
You've got to have a reason for the really long break.
It's got... I have my many reasons why it breaks in the middle. No, well, we just... Well, blame it on Matt. It was Matt's fault, wasn't it?
It was
all Matt's fault.
Well, first of all, he wanted to break. Secondly, he had the nerve to get married...
Inconsiderate bastard, in my opinion.
Which is the reason why he's not here tonight, because he doesn't show any dedication. He's on his honeymoon. I don't even want to. What's the time now? It's, 20 to 10?
Yep.
And he's got no consideration. He's probably doing things we should be doing right now. To his wife.
You're right, we should be doing it to his wife.
Do you think he's shown her that trick that he told us he could do?
Which trick was that? God, I'm sure Matt would love for you to announce the world a particular party act that he's got.
I couldn't possibly say.
What did it involve? Come on, I'm curious. Come on.
You're bi-curious.
Come on, tell me. What does it involve? Come on.
I think you're all extremely mean. And the poor bugger's finally got away.
Yeah.
Escaped at last.
Yeah. So what should we
finally
talk about?
His end.
What should we talk about today?
For a change, should we actually talk about Linux?
No.
What do you mean for a change? You're never here.
Look at him. Can we find him? Talk about Linux.
He thinks he's part of the group already. You've got to work good and hard. We haven't put him through the initiation yet, have we, boys?
No. That's the only reason I'm here.
You don't have to work good. You just have to be hard. That'll do us. Certainly do Sparks.
That's right.
If you're hard enough, that's the initiation.
Oh, Jesus. We'll talk about a few things, shall we? I don't know. Anything strike
we
your interest?
We can talk about the show.
What show?
Linux World, of course.
Oh, Linux World. That was interesting. Yeah.
I keep calling it the Linux Expo, and it's not. It's just, you know, Linux World.
The Linux Expo.
The Linux Expo.
I mean, Linux World, it was fun, and we'll talk about that in a bit. We can always talk about some other things of some interest. Did you guys do anything interesting over the break, over the Log Radio break? It's not a summer break, it's Log Radio break.
I completely failed to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Still unmarried.
Same here. Still unmarried.
Ack always looks at me funny when I say that.
Are you actually married?
No.
Really?
Really not?
I'm not married, no.
I thought you were married to... No. I thought you were married to Ivor. Really? That's amazing. So, girls, form a queue, orderly queue.
No one do that.
We were thinking that perhaps, you know, women would be denied because now the final member of the Log Radio team has tied the knot.
No, still
I'm not married.
You've told her about the trick.
But you're basically married.
I'm not.
So, but Sparks is still footloose and fancy.
Am I basically married as well?
Exactly. I'm not basically married. I'm actually married.
I'm the same woman. Like,
well, there you go.
Well, you know,
I suppose that we, me and Susan, are technically, we're, what is it, civil, what, no. Common law. Common law marriage. Means that we can go nick cars.
That means you're common.
We can wear gold
None of your
jewelry.
Light bulbs work in your kitchen.
It means actually nothing.
Really?
Yep. You have no rights, no tax breaks.
Damn. So what's the point of it then?
There is no point of it. That's why you're supposed to get married.
I thought it was going to be like a cheap way of getting married.
No.
I'll
unfortunately, there is only the expensive way of getting married.
I'll marry you in 3 years and 14 days, Susan. Unfortunately, that was 4 years ago.
You said that presumably when she was 12 and 3/4.
That's right, yes.
When did you start seeing her?
I met Susan.
Story on air.
All right, okay. I met Susan when I was 16.
In the park.
Shut up. Cider.
I met Susan when I was 16.
At youth club. Go on, Jono, I'm listening.
Thank you. I was 16, she was 14. And March. And before anyone asks...
Funny how she's still 18 and Jono's 25, isn't it?
No, she's not. Fucking shit. Yeah, she was 14 months old when I met her.
Yeah. You offered her a bag of sweeties.
Oh, you bastard.
Said she could play with her puppies.
Oh, jeez. All right, okay, let's not talk about that.
Dirty cradle robber.
No, I wasn't a cradle.
She was 40!
How old are you?
28.
How old's Sam?
28.
Right, how old are you?
Fucking bite my dick.
It's not uncommon to be a 2 year difference between two people.
two people.
With their brother and sister.
Two people. How old are you, Sparks?
I'm 31.
31, and how old is Iva? Jenny, how old's Jenny?
She's 28.
Thank you. Right. Oh, Jesus, you dirty cradle rock.
How old was she when you started going out with her?
21.
But I was...
21?
Yeah, Susan was 14, I was 16, for God's sake. I mean, it's not exactly a massive age later, is it? Anyway, let's talk about the ball bloke.
She was 20 and I was about 23, I think.
How old are you? And don't lie to us this time.
I told you guys, I'm all 2'6".
2'6"?
Yeah, in hex.
You're not fucking 38.
I am 38.
No, you are. I want to see documentary evidence of this.
Bring your passport.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah, you haven't got one, have you?
That's why he shaves his head, because he's gone grey. I'm going grey as well. This doesn't happen to
practice. It doesn't count until your pubes go grey.
Isn't
it? No.
Fuck for that.
Clear wrong way.
Oh, shit.
That's going to be Asia's approach when it starts going grey.
Do you have ginger nuts, Ack?
Certainly do.
Oh, my God.
I'm proud of it.
No, I bet that's the most horrific looking thing in the world. There's little... I bet it looks like... You know, like when you watch natural history programmes and you see, like, a baby bird squawking out of a nest going... But it looks like that with your little ginger nest.
I must confess, I have gazed upon my bollocks many times, and not once have I ever thought...
You've had some gaze on your bollocks.
I never win.
Who invited him in?
Balkman strikes for the first time.
Yeah, and you're bald.
And beautiful.
They stick some sunglasses on it. Yeah. What does it look like? Which famous celebrity
Robinson.
Ann Robinson. Robinson in
Does your
disguise.
Penis hate the Welsh?
I've got to be in school again. I've got pretending to be Groucho Marx.
You got to go to a special hairdresser for that. Anyway, should we get this shit on the road?
No.
Okay then. Should we go home then?
Okay. Season 2. Episode 1, done. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye. Come back again in 6 months.
No, we're just joking.
Yeah, we better record something then.
Yeah, nice one. Let's get on with it.
Another expo came and went, and I didn't.
You see, we don't need to know that information about our friend Sparks.
Yeah. The tablet to work in.
Jesus, you know, I don't want to see that. Can you imagine Sparks' face at the point of climax?
Yes,
and poor, actually. And poor old Matt underneath him.
What sex face.
He's probably into it at the moment, given that the bloke's on honeymoon and all, you know.
He's thinking of Sparks. And
so because I'm standing in for Matt, that doesn't mean I have to...
That's right, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes, every hole's a goal.
Afterwards.
Point of climax. Incidentally,
a pint of Climax.
The Expo.
Where do you buy a pint of Climax? Come again? Anyway, carry on.
I'd have to have pint, you wouldn't, not for a while. That's some recuperation, surely.
I think I'll be fucking walking.
Shooting,
buddy,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, them tablets Pele got you wouldn't be good enough to get you a second pint.
Right, okay, I think we should...
you need some Vigra. That comes from the FM then, you know.
No, it's V I apostrophe A dash G dot.
I need some that. That stuff's good for
also
port,
known
apparently.
As Cialis or Cialis.
Cialis, God, that's my spam.
You know entirely too much about this.
Well, I kept getting loads of spam advertising Cialis, and I had no idea what it was. And then I got one which explained that it was Viagra,
which was really cool.
Do you read your spam? I can't believe you read your spam.
I've got a classic.
Or even the fact that you get spam.
I read them because Thunderbird automatically shifts the focus thing down one when you delete a message, which is really fucking annoying, actually.
Mine just goes,
you know, on Thunderbird,
trash.
Where it always puts your junk into your junk folder, do you still have to just have a look and just make sure that it is actually junk?
Is that a metaphor, putting your junk into your junk folder? Or are we still talking about his pint?
Are you using the inside pocket or do you stuff it up your
no
arse?
Comment.
Anyway, I believe you wanted to talk about the expo that you didn't go to, Spark.
Actually, weren't you too hardcore to go to this one?
Was I?
I think that's what you posted on the list.
No, he was starring in too much hardcore.
Masturbated too much hardcore.
Not sure he was starring.
I've got so much hardcore since
he had a bit part.
Okay, Sparks, go ahead.
Expos, are they any good? Are they as good as they used to be?
I don't think so. I think
meeting up with people, because meeting up with people was always good.
That was particularly good.
The Phoebes used to be excellent. And the Phoebes are any good.
Or is it that we're just getting older? And nothing says good
no,
as it
there,
was.
There are no freebies anymore, basically, because the .com bubble burst. The only place now the only place now you get freebies is Comdex, and Comdex is fucking miles away.
Yeah, it's like in Norfolk or somewhere. No.
Where is it? It's in San Francisco.
Somewhere stupid like that. Somewhere over that side of the world.
Same weekend as DEF CON, then you could at least attend both.
It's
make it worth your while.
I think
play some slots, get laid, get married. Here, this movie plays for me again.
There might not have been any freebies, but there were some rather tasty young ladies. The Novel Girls. I want one.
Was there anyone
or two.
Not all of
costume.
The Novel Girls.
Most of them, let's face it.
There was one very old Novel Girl who took a shine to one of the Lug Radio
parties. Yes. We have photographic evidence as well.
Yeah, but just
silence from Jono.
It's Jono. It's not Jono. Some people still think it's Jono. Namely Americans. Americans, if you're American, I'm not Jono. I'm Jono.
And elect a decent president.
Yeah, and
that'll happen.
It's not Mr. O'Bacon either. Yeah. An American the other day, actually, that I was talking to did call me Mr. O'Bacon. Yeah, I felt really proud.
Jono O'Bacon.
Anyway, I mean... The expo was shite. I mean, like you say, it's always good. You get on and you meet people and everything. But there's got to come a point soon when the cool people start thinking, I'm not going to the expo because it's shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, or they throw an expo and they think, right, that's all the corporate tosses out the way for a bit. Let's have all the meeting up bits somewhere else. You know, exactly. I mean, that's what Lug Radio Live could be. You know, I mean, you have loads of corporate bollocks selling to loads of other corporate bollocks in Olympia 2.
And the actual expo
only happens in the hand and fire across the road.
The favourite thing that happens to me at expos is say, can I just swipe your thing after I talk to somebody? I'm saying, yeah, of course you can. It's a fake fucking name and address. Swipe away, love.
I think
A Bradshaw,
MI5. That was funny, actually, when she came up to me. She says, she went to scan me and she read that it said MI5 and she went, am I okay to scan you? It was a quality moment.
I think the thing is, though, the first expo I went to was back in 2000, I think it was, and it was noticeably bigger and there was more free stuff, but then again there was more firms around then, and all of the people who were cool back then seem to now be working for the small handful of companies. I mean, most of the people I know now seem to be working for Novell.
It's crazy to think that Red Hat weren't there. IBM didn't have a stand.
I know, it's like
And Adam Dolan's got some righteous abuse for not turning up or not having an IBM stand.
The great Linux debate was interesting.
Yeah, I found that quite interesting.
In the sense of there was no debate, and there was nothing really discussed. It was
did
just
they
interesting.
Linux at all?
They, bizarrely, they did. They said Enterprise more.
Did you play and, bullshit bingo?
And the sun guys.
Somebody shaped a stand-up shaped house from the back.
It's not quite that bad, but it was knocking on that way.
And if they did, I bet it was like, one of the Debian guys.
It was all just non-committal bullshit. You remember how?
The Novell guy was particularly bullshit.
In previous years, Bradley Tipp's been there from Microsoft, and people ask him questions and. He'd kind of dodge and shine a bit, because, you know, you'd say, so why are Microsoft such bastards? And he'd go, well, we're not bastards, we're just, you know, hacker guys, we're just like you. And you think, well, yeah, but you're not actually answering the damn question. And then he'd say things like, so, Windows Media Player, is it going to deliberately lock out whatever the iPod format is? And he'll go, well, I don't know about that, you'd have to ask the media division. And she'll, and you think, well, okay, but this is a bloke on hostile territory. He's a Microsoft guy at the
fair play for him to come in down.
And
didn't
he showed
year,
up.
Did he?
But,
I mean, he didn't stand still for long, obviously. Target
but
especially with those red spots all over him.
the Novell guy was like that, and the Sun guy was like that. It was all, oh, well, we can't talk about that at the moment because there's a court case. Or that stuff will be coming up, but we don't want to just discuss it just yet. Or, yes, we'll be working in partnership with IBM to do this. You think you've just told us nothing? You just opened your mouth and nothing came out.
The Sun guy I thought was the worst, because every question it was like, yeah,
he was
Java
a knob.
Desktop.
He was a knob.
Have you actually got anything out of Sun? Any like answers? The technical support.
I've got vitamin
brilliant.
D. The only thing we managed to get was them to GPL Project Looking Glass.
We did.
Though it was good to see the .org village back upstairs with the rest of the people at the show.
It'd be good if there was anyone good in it.
Well, I had a good chat to the guys at the BBC and sort of said, oi, why don't you use OG?
You should have got into the full Cockney swing. Yeah, what's all that about? You using OG? Yeah, yeah.
And why did they say they weren't using OG?
It was something about the back end. They were saying that they looked at OG.
The back end?
I can see how this is a problem people work at the BBC.
No, he was a nice guy, actually, and he was saying at the back end what just wasn't really up to it. He says, also Windows Media Player, he says, like, the back end of that wouldn't have done it. So he said the only thing they could do is use Reel. But they wanted to change it really soon.
I tell you what,
they've invented a new thing called Dirac.
Yeah.
New video.
I mean, that was there last time, wasn't it? But it just seemed more prevalent this time.
I think last time it was kind of, we've like written some spec documents for this, and now it was, yes, we've actually got videos encoded with this, we've got encoders and decoders.
I think the video codec's done now, isn't it? I think what he was saying...
Not quite.
Right, okay.
It's done, but they haven't... The decoder will only decode QCIF on the fly, which is really small webcam pictures, but that's because they haven't optimised it yet.
Because I think he was frustrated about there was no network protocol for it.
That's what Theora is, isn't it? To Orange, you've cracked.
I was going
to say, I'll be your dog.
Stupidest fucking name, honestly.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, Dirac's like so much better, isn't it?
Most famous advert ever.
I used to be in the Kiora fan club when I was young. All these American listeners are not going to wonder what the hell, you know, they're going to wonder what the hell
do
one
remember
the fan club
is. Square cartons for the cinemas.
Eh?
Square cartons Kiora in the cinema.
We ought to go and see if we can find. Someone must have an MPEG of the fucking advert somewhere on the internet. What the internet's for.
Kiora!
No, I haven't got that. I've got all the old safety films.
But surely it'd be copyrighted, and you wouldn't be able to download copyrighted material from the internet, would you?
We pirate everything.
Okay.
Yeah, Sparks isn't even here. We just someone else recorded him. Someone sat outside his house.
He's a very poor copy, is he?
I'm probably going to fight something for myself and just stay at home now and just try and push my buttons.
Sparks.
Which is pretty much what happened when I
was here. Sparks the IRC bomb.
I think that Matt's doing a really good impression of Aid tonight, don't you think? It sounds really authentic.
Matt is a lot better looking tonight, I have to say. And a lot balder.
Well, presumably he's kind of grown up through his hair.
I tell you what, I think we should point out, when we went to Matt's stag do, for those who obviously weren't there.
Which is everyone listening.
Which is everyone listening. When we were there, there was a comedian on stage, and he said, who's the stag in this party? And... we all pointed to Matt, obviously, and he said, oh, have you found another gnome to marry? I was just, poor old Matt, he's the tiniest man in the world. I mean, he just looks like a Matt, but one-eighth the size.
He's not the tiniest man in the world, let's be honest, he's not that small. It's just the fact that if you put a pointy hat on him and a fishing rod, he would look like a gnome. He has got a slight look of the ape dwarf about him, hasn't he?
He does, I mean, maybe he has actually got a stunted something, I don't know.
Stunted growth. We'll stick with stunted growth.
Another bunch of commercial software is coming out again for Linux, obviously. That's what we're talking about. Is that what we talk about?
Well, sometimes we talk about free beer.
Linux? Linux? What? What's that?
Well, I prefer Windows.
It would be UGG Radio, wouldn't we, of course? I think it must be Linux.
I prefer Mac OS.
I love Mac OS.
I know for a fact Aid does not prefer Mac OS. I don't know anyone who hates Macintoshes as much as Aid. In fact, we should send Aid to, like,
Macworld. Is there such a thing?
Macworld.
Yeah. Oh,
Macworld.
Man. There is Macworld. If ever there was a reason for an AK-47.
Is there Expo?
Yeah.
Macworld.
When you absolutely have to kill every motherfucker in the room.
That's their slogan for next year.
Okay, yeah. Commercial software.
Did we mention commercial software? We did, didn't we? Another bunch of commercial apps coming out, ready to die on their arse. What do people think?
Ever the optimist.
Yeah. What do people think about commercial applications under Linux?
No need for them, to be honest.
So as Axe said, we saw Veritas at the show.
Yes.
Were they actually selling backup exec for Linux, or were they saying backup exec that runs on Windows but can back up your Linux boxes?
I don't know, on the grounds that I just avoided their stand. But I think it was both. I think they were selling backup exec which will back up your Linux boxes, but also backup exec which will run on a Linux box.
It'd be impressive if they got
either
backup
Linux
exec
box or Windows
running on Linux. That would be impressive.
It's just a fucking GUI from 10 to tar, isn't it?
No, that's the point.
No.
The whole thing there is that you're taking... there wasn't really kind of a backup vibe in the Windows world particularly. So backup exec came in and everyone went, shit, yeah, I knew there was something on my list of shit we had to do. Backups. Right, so they bought backup exec. Whereas on Linux, everyone's been backing up everything for ages with tar. Which means that there's a lot... I mean, there's a thing called... I keep wanting to say Anduta, but that's an editor. There's something called something like that, which is, you know, it's
Archaea.
That's the fucker. Nice one. There's, which is essentially a shell around tar and gzip and stuff, but it gives you a nice pretty thing. And
I don't think the Archaea guys would agree with you there. It's not just a shell around tar, is it?
Why?
Well, I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it's not just a shell around tar.
As far as I was aware, there's nothing that it does that you couldn't do with... a shell script and tar and gzip. You know, it names backups correctly and it makes sure they're done regularly and stuff like that. But if you went to see any, you know, competent Unix admin 20 years ago, he'd basically have a shell script doing all his backups for him.
But that's the point, isn't it? I mean, do these commercial applications offer us anything that we pay for? I mean, the only one that I've seen that... The only commercial application I've seen that I would consider buying...
Cubase Score. on Windows.
It's Zen Studio for PHP Editor.
What is it?
Used it. Shit. Enough for anything.
It's alright.
Use G-Edit.
It's an editor.
But it's got the kind of things like profiling PHP code and all this kind of stuff. And it seems reasonably good, and it offers some additional things that you don't get in
things such as Quanta. Do any PHP programs actually profile the code?
No, that's part of the problem, though, isn't it?
There you go. Exactly.
That's an interesting... If they added profiling code into things such as Quanta, do you think that the quality of PHP sites would dramatically improve?
No. If they added a thing which wrote unit tests, then it would.
Hmm.
But you can't do that.
If they did it in Dreamweaver, perhaps it would.
Because, I mean... That's the only thing that I reviewed a particular product recently, which I will not name.
You could read it in your local W.H. Smith. it's the review that got...
And then you could put it back on the shelf and not buy.
Fuck all stars.
It was basically a product that there was a free... It was a source control product. And basically... CVS pretty much does everything that...
I cannot think why the hell you'd pay for source control
exactly.
On Linux. I mean, on Windows, you didn't really have anything historically. You had CVS, which was a rather ropey port and didn't work properly. There were no graphical tools, and Windows people just don't work with that kind of thing. There was Visual Source Safe, which, sucks an enormous fucking dog's penis. And secondly...
Is that an enormous dog?
A dog with an enormous penis?
Penis attached to a dog. I do agree with you.
Enormous penis stapled to a dog.
It is unfortunately an enormous dog with an enormous penis.
Which is why most Windows houses, software houses, when they realise that how shit it is, that they tend to put CVS or something on there quite quickly.
But you got SourceSafe free if you had any of the Windows developer tools.
so, yeah, you know, if you buy Visual Studio,
you get Source 8 for free. So you had Perforce and the really expensive one, whose name completely escapes me.
They're 3D aeroplanes a few years back.
Rational Clear Case.
Thank you, yeah. So you have Rational Clear Case and Perforce, and, you know, they had quite a good market. But on Unix, you've always had CVS. And now there are loads. I mean, you've got Subversion, which is brilliant. Arch, which inspires rabid love among people who actually like it. And
rabid love for people who actually spend part of their lives discussing source control. I mean, for God's sake, it's source control. It's the most uninteresting subject in the world.
Okay, we are talking about it. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's not as interesting as backups, but they're both essential.
Backups, oh, God. But then again, you know, I mean, who the hell... I mean, for example, what kind of loser would go to, like, for example, a storage expo?
I mean...
When the company are paying and they give me a day off, yeah, I'm going.
If the company paid me to shoot myself in the head, I wouldn't do it. Not, is like, that Sean Gordon's the company.
Is that day paid mate, us to or shoot are you getting an extra premium for shooting yourself in the head with recuperation and stuff?
That, on the other hand, is an interesting point. Commercial software on Linux is all really boring stuff.
Yeah.
Source control, boring. Editors, boring. You know. Yeah.
Games.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what's an interesting package that isn't a game?
Games are interesting, but the games that were available on Linux were boring. They were. I mean, oh, Civilization, Call to Power. Wow, I can't wait to play that. That's really interesting. Yeah, Quake 3, when it came out, that was about the most interesting thing. But then again, at that point, everyone was sick of Quake-type games anyway.
Yeah.
And there's that bloody Wolfenstein, Castle Wolfenstein.
Return to Castle Wolfenstein,
that,
is it?
That free version that they kind of developed and then didn't think was very good, so they gave it away. But free as in beer, not as in speech.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is boring stuff.
There's no free speech in Wolfenstein. Those Nazis cracked right down on it.
Bastards.
That was the whole beer, point of the first game, surely. You go around all those little right-angled corners shooting the Nazis.
But the problem is here, you get all of these losers, and if people agree with this, then yes, you are a loser, who say, oh, I don't need games, I've got NetHack. No.
Fuck off.
No NetHack, it's shit. And, oh, I've got a... No, you want to play the GUI version?
Yeah, GUI version.
No, I don't. I want to play no NetHack. I want to play a game where... I want to play a game where you run around a room destroying copies of NetHack. For God's sake,
I want to have a bit of tap.
Well, personally, if I want to play a game, I'll put it in a PlayStation.
Yeah,
for fuck's sake,
you know. Put it in a games console. My PC is that I work at a PC all day. I don't want to see it.
That's debatable, but...
Well, I try to work all day. Yeah, so, commercial software.
So do you think Veritas, I mean, they were very successful in Windows with their backup exec because they provided a product that wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
So do you think that they thought, oh, we can do the same on Linux and not realise that everyone's quite happy with their backup solutions already?
That depends.
Paying a Linux admin, you've got somebody who knows Perl or Python or something.
Yeah. The point about it is that if you're paying Windows admins, you haven't necessarily got that and you haven't got scripting tools in place to do that anyway. But... If Linux is going to become more popular, if it's going to achieve 50% in the market, say, you've got to buy into that. 35% of the guys using it won't have a fucking clue what a shell script is. Definitely. Which means
Windows
they're going to need...
files could access the hardware.
Yeah, they're going to reach for what they've already used.
They're going to need some kind of tool that helps them do backups in an enterprise environment, which doesn't involve writing a Python script.
They'll look down that enormous list...
Well, you see, that's
the point. Backup exec, I recognise that.
There's Archaea and stuff like that.
But this is exactly the point, is that we can't...
Did you see the mother wolf in the Jungle Book?
Not Archaea.
This is... It doesn't matter how obscure the reference, you know, it's really good, I enjoy this.
Yeah. He's got... The thing is, right, is that... The point is that we can't expect people coming from a Windows admin background to say, you just come to Linux and then you've got to learn how to script in Bash and all the rest of it. People ain't going to want to do that because people don't want to fight with the operating system. And that's what we're trying to say to people. Come and use Linux. You don't have to fight with the OS anymore. You used to about 5 years ago, but you don't anymore.
So do you think that's the niche then?
And I think that's it. I think it's convenience. No, it's
see,
like anything.
We're going to turn admins into brain dead monkeys.
No, but the thing, yeah, but most of them are brain dead monkeys.
I wouldn't say that. No, but your files will disappear overnight. Your email won't be working once your shell goes out.
The thing is that...
It will.
Not...
Because I'm the admin.
I might be
a brain dead monkey, but I think the same about admins that he does.
Come on, let you know, you're not a brain dead monkey. You're an orangutan. Look at the colouring.
The thing is, though,
looking at his arse again.
Not everyone. This is
That's
the big
baboon.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
You sound
I'm pretty sure all mammals have got arses.
I think that
it's almost the definition of being a mammal, having an arse.
Tits and arse, you're a mammal.
Okay, can we stay away from mammals, tits and arse, mate? I think a lot of people in the Linux world need to realise that not everyone loves computers as much as we do, and not everyone. And this includes admins in positions.
Running your backups, you want him to know things about computers.
You do, but the fact of the matter is that most of them probably don't.
In my
most of them probably don't give a crap.
The backups are not the people who are.
That's why you have automatic fucking tape changes.
Yes, that's the point. They're fucking tape monkeys. They're not proper admins.
What he said.
But they're not running. But they're not running the software. They're just changing the tape because somebody was too cheap.
They're changing the tape, and then they're going through their pre-programmed list of stuff they do every morning, bring up that window, check if it says OK, tick the box, click the OK button, then you swap the tape over.
Leave all the tape boxes out.
That's a fucking tape monkey thing to do.
Lock the blank ones in the safe, leave the... Backed up ones on the radiator.
Exactly, you know, they'll bring up a window, and then it'll say... It won't say okay, it will say backup failed, at which point they pick up the phone and go, the backup failed, and someone who fucking, you know, can count to 10 gets called in. That would be aid.
If you look at 95% of all commercial software, it is basically convenient software.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not much commercial software unique.
You want to turn Linux into McDonald's?
No.
You have a gourmet
meal. I don't want Linux to stay in this kind of elitist club that it seems to be to a lot of people.
I am fairly of the opinion that you have to be able to turn Linux into McDonald's.
If the desktop's
in order
McDonald's,
to get
that's okay. You know, that, we've already said Ubuntu's great because it's spreading the word, desktop works and everything. But
where's the first place you're going to get Linux into your enterprise, though? It's going to be in the server room.
Yeah.
And people are going to want a backup solution. They're not going to be bothered about paying money.
They're not
going
to want to learn all this shit just to get a backup. They're just
going
to want to
do all that. Then they'll say, fuck that, we'll run IIS.
Watch this box running. That you put in the server room?
Well, it could be a web server. It could be a database server.
Okay, so you've already bought O'Reilly's Apache, the definitive guide, right? So you can't even fucking work out how to use tar, and you've set up the web server.
But you haven't. That's the
but
thing.
You've got your tape monkeys to do the backups, and you want to present them with the same screens.
Yeah, and
the money you save moving to free software, buy a tape changer.
more to the point.
Replace the monkey with shell scripts.
More to the point, right? You haven't set up the web server. You did apt-get install Apache. And that's it.
If you're running the internet and the actual web server, I admit
I am not a system administrator, right? There's loads of sysadmin skills that I haven't got, but I'm reasonably good at this stuff. And Apache's HTTP.com confuses the shit out of me. Yeah. Every time I have to fiddle with it, I fuck it up.
And the thing is, if there's a small... I mean, we're talking, probably assuming in the context of a really larger corporations and businesses. If there's a small organisation, they've got, like, let's say, 5 or 6 people, and they want to run, like, an intranet, and they just want some simple, like, kind of webmail kind of stuff, why on earth should they have to buy a shitload of books and read all of this stuff just to get their IT working?
I don't agree with you. If you've got 30 people, you've got one server room, you've got one guy who works in it, then you go out, and instead of spending... You can't expect to spend 17 grand and get a guy who can run the IT for your firm. You just can't.
Yeah.
But if you've got...
You might get a window monkey.
Yeah, but he's not going to do a very fucking good job and stuff's going to go down all the time. You've got to think, if we've got a server room, you know, it's not just like 4 guys on one PC in the middle that's sharing files. So at that point, you just got the guy who knows most about IT gets to be the IT guy when something goes wrong. If you've got 30, 40, 50, 60 people, you've got one server room, you've got... half a dozen machines in it, say. You're not going to be buying 25 grand fucking compact servers with 4 processors or anything.
Yeah.
But you're going to employ a guy to work on it. At that point, you can't think, we will pay 17,000 and get a fucking tape monkey kid. But if you've got, you know, 4 sites, say, and you've got 25 or 30 servers in each site, you can't have one guy...
Yeah, yeah.
To do that, you can't even have one guy on each site to manage those.
It's got to be scaled, doesn't it?
You've got to have one guy and someone else.
Yeah.
And you can't employ...
Pimply-faced youth.
Yeah, exactly. You can't employ two knowledgeable blokes because suddenly your budget goes up. You're paying 2 lots of 30 grand rather than 1 lot of 30 grand and 1 lot of 16.
The thing is, I think a point, though, is that, I mean, personally, and this applies to both the desktop and the server, I mean, I'm against this this kind of view in some portions of the Linux community and open source community that we should keep it. We should keep it so you've got to hack everything. So you've got to hack configuration files for everything. So you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Because, yeah, if you have somebody who's in a position of responsibility, they need to know what they're doing. But if you provide them with a set of sensible defaults and a means to configure the software in a way that is accustomed to how they work, so long as it achieves the ultimate goal of working, then that's the way we should be going. We don't want to create this elitist kind of, you know, oh, well, if you want to do a backup solution, don't use any commercial software. You might as well just do everything in tar, because that's not right for everyone. Some people want just a simple thing.
I think there's room for commercial software.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And there's room for the hackers and there's room for the commercial software.
Take OpenExchange. I mean, if you go and buy OpenExchange, the commercial version, yeah, you get a nice, easy, GUI, set it all up and all the rest of it. And they've released the open source version, the OpenExchange.
Yeah.
And it's a fucker to set up. Yeah. It really, really is. That's fine. I'm happy with that. So you've got your choice now. You can buy your commercial, easy to set up version, or you can, if you're a hacker,
buy your convenience, don't you?
But they haven't really open sourced it then. They've
open sourced the bit which does the work,
but not all the tools that went.
You'd have to know what you were doing to get that one working, nice. Whereas you wouldn't necessarily have to know what you're doing.
It's a bit mean.
And that's wrong. That's not in the spirit of open source. Open source is open source, not open bits of source.
Hmm. Yeah,
and that's the problem.
They are basically trying to blag people into paying the money. I mean, flipping over for a bit, I agreed mostly what you're saying, but, you know, harking back to what Sparks is saying, the problem with saying we will provide nice clickable graphical stuff, and then if you want to do something more complicated, you can dive below it, is that after 3 or 4 years of that, you haven't got anyone who can dive below, which is the problem with Windows administration. You've got too many fucking tape monkeys who... I mean, there is loads of powerful stuff you can do with Windows. It's not entirely unscriptable. You've got things like the Windows scripting host. You can drop down to the shell. Can run Perl on it if you want to do that kind of thing. But people don't, because they don't fucking understand, because they're tape monkeys.
Linux, I don't believe for a second that Linux will ever get to the level... because Windows has been like that essentially from the outset.
Yeah.
Whereas with Linux, because from the outset it was a more complex system and people are rolling on this icing on top, it was always going to have people who were going to jump below the surface. I think the convenience tools are merely there for convenience of those people who are probably going
to
know about
it. If I said to my boss, look, I want to put a Linux server in here. He's heard of Linux, he's open to it. So he says, okay, we're going to put this box in. And he goes, how are you going to back it up? And I bring up this command prompt and say, oh, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Yeah. He's just going to sort of say, fuck off.
Yeah, because he can't see it.
Whereas if I run backup exec and he's like, I recognise that. Ah, nice little GUI. I know how to run that.
But I can see why you might want to run Archaea.
Oh, yeah.
As an example. You know, I mean, things like backup exec, for example, they quite often either being cloned or guys are doing the same kind of thing in a different way, or we were there ahead of commercial tools in the first place. I mean, quite a few commercial tools where there's kind of open source stuff, but, you know, it's a little bit of a pain because they haven't got the focus on this, and someone's gone, people are using this, they would appreciate a better tool in this niche, and they're probably fair to pay money for it, so I'll make a product out of it.
And sadly with managers, I think there's a comfort zone. They like names they've heard before.
Yeah. Yeah, but we ought to fucking try and break that.
One step at a time.
We ought to just buy into that and go, well, okay, people trust names they know, so let's get involved with names they know.
Let's get Linux in the server room first, show them how good it is, then break them.
I don't think so, because we never will break it. Because basically what that means is you sell out to loads of big companies and then we will never fucking get it back.
You'll never break the comfort zone as well of people going with names that they trust. And this was the problem with Red Hat.
I mean, I love the idealism, by the way, but this should be pragmatic here.
This was exactly the problem with Red Hat, was that all of these, you know, people were saying, oh, you want to move over to Linux? Linux is really great. And then naturally, the organization said, well, who should we go for? And the most sort of brand kind of, the most public brand was Red Hat, so they all went over with Red Hat. And then Red Hat signed them up and said, yeah, we'll support you, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's Red Hat Linux 9. Oh, this is really good. And they felt all warm and fuzzy for 2 months. And then Red Hat went and royally and basically screwed them left, right and centre. So they went up to the management and said, hang on a second, you know, I was telling you about how great Linux is and how it's greatly supported and all this kind of stuff. Well, it isn't actually.
Well, I'm not sure it's entirely true.
And Red Hat have kind of like screwed us over a bit. And that happened to a lot of people, a lot of people. And that brand confidence in Red Hat dropped a lot because of that. Now, yeah, their products in many ways have improved, because they've not got as they've got less often released cycles and all the rest of it. And Red Hat, you know, seem to be doing a pretty good job in a lot of areas, but that's the problem when you have brand confidence in a new kind of brand, because people aren't going to be like, oh, well, yeah, we'll go with Red Hat if somebody else, some other management dude, when he's smoking his pipe at another party somewhere, says, well, guess what happened to us, you know?
Is that a euphemism?
Spoken on somebody's pipe. I mean, that was why I thought it was a real shame that the open source initiative never went anywhere. Because, ESR was all, yeah, we're going to do this, and they've still got the fucking website and everything, but basically no one gives a shit anymore. I mean, they had that logo, and they were going to register it as a trademark and all that. And I thought that was great, because it was a branding for all free software.
Yeah.
So you could say, trust the open source mark. Instead of having to say, yeah, we'll trust Veritas or Novell, you could trust open source as a brand.
But how is that open source mark going to be leveraged? I mean, how, you know, if someone was to come up to me and say, yes, this open source mark is going to be used on Apache and on the GIMP, and it's going to be used on Blender, and it's going to be used on KDE and GNOME, and these well mature respected projects, you know, then there's going to be people who have written like some tiny little script that doesn't do much and is probably quite buggy, and they're going to want the open source mark.
Again, no,
but that's going to devalue the brand in the eyes of the businessman.
No, it isn't.
In the eyes of the businessman, it could do.
You're looking at it the wrong way round. You'd say, we want to use this piece of software. You can trust it because it's got the open source mark. Not, we found the open source mark on something, therefore that thing is good. Quite the opposite. Because it's not as if you go, okay, we need a piece of software, we'll Google for something, and then we find the open source mark on something. Your IT guys will be saying, we want to use this piece, or we want to use KDE on the desktop, or we want to use Archaea or something. And then they can present it to the managers and say, you know you can trust this because it has the open source mark on it.
But, you know, you see, this is the thing. You can't separate, you know you can trust it, and separate what's good. Because at the end of the day, you might be able to say, well, we've got this little icon, and it basically indicates that, you know, this little symbol says that this is open source, and it will always be open source, right? And it's licensed under an open source license. But that doesn't, I think a lot of people would read into that, oh, that must mean it's very good then.
No, it just guarantees the fact that it's released under, that version is released under the open source initiative's list of licenses.
But then there'll be the caveat that that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be right for you.
No, I agree. But the point is that anyone who's capable of going out there and looking for software, what you're saying is people might come across a piece of software which is actually shit, but see it's got the open source market and therefore think that it's good. Yeah,
I'm saying that people will basically if let's say Raymond was to go around pimping the open source seal of quality or whatever it bloody
was,
and then they basically stumbled across an inferior piece of software with that seal, then that's going to tarnish, irrespective of the objective of the seal, which I completely agree with you. It's going to tarnish that seal somewhat, because you can't control who gets the seal.
Right, here's the thing, right? You're wrong. And this is why. Yep.
Never said that.
I agree with you in concept. The point is that people who care more about a brand than they do about the actual quality of the software don't stumble across software. Right? Anyone who's more prepared to trust the brand than they are prepared to trust the actual technical quality of the thing isn't going to be going out picking bits of software at random they don't know about. And anyone who does know about the technical quality is capable of making, you know, it has to make the decision this piece of software is good or not, irrespective of the brand.
One point.
Knows enough to not just trust the brand.
Right, okay, one point. You are phenomenally wrong. Like never before. People who trust the brand don't stumble across software. Of course they do.
Why?
I'll give you an example, right? A guy I spoke to, who I trained in London, and he was interested in using Linux. And the brand that he'd heard the most about, bizarrely, was Suzy, right?
Yeah.
And so he went and he bought a copy of Suzy off eBay, because he didn't really know anything else to do. So he got Suzy, and he trusted the brand. He installed it on his machine, and 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from him saying, you know, I needed to do this. I looked around the website, I looked around the internet, and I found this piece of software and something called SourceForge, and I've tried installing it and it's not working, and this isn't happening, and this is broken, and this is a problem. And he trusted the brand, but this is the thing, you can't, this is where the Debian way works, essentially, as long as everything's hooked through that distribution path, it works.
But
when you bring in extra shit, it doesn't work.
What brand did he trust there?
He trusted Suzy.
How did he get a thing off SourceForge then?
He downloaded an RPM.
Yeah, but that's the point. He wasn't trusting a brand there at all.
He was trusting a brand, and when he goes on the internet and he says, you can download this RPM because it will work on Suzy, and it doesn't work, the brand isn't working.
You're right.
And that's not the fault of Suzy. That's the fault
of Microsoft. And if you see a Windows program, and it says this program works on Windows, and you download it, it doesn't work. It's not Microsoft's fault either, but no one's trusting a brand to do that.
But the difference
no one says, I'm using Veritas Backup Exec because I trust the fact that it runs on Windows.
The point I'm making is that he... He had trust in a brand, and at the end of the day, that brand couldn't protect him from breaking his system.
You're right.
Thank you. Let's move on.
I've got trust in the brand of Debian, but it can't protect me from chucking a fucking hammer through the windscreen of my car, can it?
But
you can eat dog shit with your caviar, but it's not recommended.
But this is the problem.
But when
though,
companies are looking for software, I mean, I think this is where companies like Open Exchange are going to really, really benefit the community.
My company.
Well, I'm not sure, but you know what I mean? An organisation where you can go to and say, look, we're interested in open source software. What's good? What isn't good?
Hang on, right? Open Exchange.
Advantage.
Sorry, I was well confused. Open Exchange is the thing that talks
I've
to Exchange.
I've got my brain.
Right?
I mean, Open Advantage.
Say what you just said again with the correct words.
That was well confusing. I was just being thick.
I think this is where companies are going to benefit from companies like Open Advantage, because they're going to be able to go to them and say, look, we're interested in open source software, what's good open source software, what isn't good open source software for the enterprise. So, you know, departments, government departments.
And this fits in exactly with what Raymond and Stallman have been banging on about for years, is that the true value in the commercial sector for open source is in consultancy and services.
Not in actually selling the software itself. And you shouldn't be able to sell software. And the fact that you can, the ridiculous fact that if there are 100 million people out there, you can get 70 quid off each of them, is what gave Microsoft all their fucking money.
And that's the reason why any kind of open source seal is pointless. Because it won't work. Because it's essentially your consultants are going to get the software for you. Your consultants are going to advise the software channels that you're getting it.
Yeah.
And for most people, again, harking on about the brand relevance, is that for most people, for example, this is the importance of having packages that are on the Suzy mirrors and the packages that are on the Red Hat mirrors and on the Debian mirrors. Because so long as you're in your cozy little Red Hat Suzy or Debian world, then you don't have to worry about anything. I get everything from the Debian archive, and it's very rare that anything breaks. Because it's got a
because
process.
It's Debian.
It's got
it?
Quality assurance. That's what you. Yeah. That's what you have in your
M-Player.
M-Player is an exception.
Okay.
But then again, any
can
kind
I
of
pick up a few of the exceptions.
Any kind of multimedia supports an exception.
LibDVD CSS.
Yeah, I get Firefox. Yeah. From Debian.
I get Firefox from Debian. I get Thunderbird from Debian.
I get Firefox.
It works.
Nice one.
Pre-installed.
Right.
You want some?
Hey.
Yeah, whistle
and flute. Yeah, but and Sandy Johnson gets someone to blow his way in the back of the bike. He says, but.
I want to tell you about some. Go on then, get on with it.
Pre-installed Linux boxes.
No.
We've said more than once that Linux would have a bigger take-up if you could buy pre-installed Linux machines. People didn't have to do the installation themselves, move away from Windows, blah, blah, blah.
Surely now, it would be cheaper as well if it came preloaded with Linux rather than preloaded with Windows.
Yes.
You can't actually find out how much cheaper, though.
That would be a real figure on the Windows tax, and Microsoft doesn't like you doing that. But my mate wants a new machine, wants Linux on it. He'd like it to be a dual-boot machine, actually. I don't want him to have to install Linux. Because I want him to get into just using it. And he doesn't have to install Windows. He doesn't want to have to think about all shit like that. I don't want the machine to come to me and have me install it and then send it up to him. Because, you know, I've got to pay the fucking postage. The hell with that. What I want to do is buy a pre-installed Linux machine running some kind of modern distribution.
You can't.
Somewhere in the UK. And as far as I can tell, you can't fucking do it. You can find people who will sell you servers. And you can find DNUK who will sell you workstations running things like Debian Woody. And they say Fedora Core 2, but I've got no idea whether it's any good. You know, Fedora Core 2, no idea whether it's any good.
It's absolutely brilliant. I'm guessing it's shit.
But
it's not Debian, I'm not interested.
That's the crux of the matter.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to for me. But first question is this a big problem?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is, because my friend's just bought a laptop, brand new laptop, and he said to me, I want to buy a laptop and I want to put Linux on it. What should I get? So I said, well, get HP. That should take Linux really easily. So he went home, he downloaded Ubuntu, and he's installed his laptop. Wi-Fi doesn't work, and his glide pad doesn't fucking work. He's tried every version of Linux he could possibly think of, and you can only get the glide pad working in Slackware. So if you could go out and buy a laptop with Linux on and you knew everything was working.
Well, this is what Shuttleworth was supposed to be doing with Ubuntu. I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
they said they're going to fix it for the next release. That's but the that's thing. 2005. So.
This is the reason why Ubuntu is going to be great in a year, maybe a year and a half, and it's not particularly as good as it is now. But then again, every distribution gets greater in a year.
But I'm still not seeing where
you can buy
where the market is going to be for pre-installed ones. I mean, Dell.
There's definitely a market.
Dell took them away. Dell used to do pre-installed Linux machines, and they took them away because there wasn't enough demand for them. And you can't, I mean, if you actually go looking for, this is in the UK, I appreciate that all the tossers in the States are sitting there going, yeah, there's loads of firms. And there are, they're not kidding, right, but they're in America.
The thing is, over here, you can buy servers with running Linux all over the place. I think it's simply because there isn't as much desktop demand yet, because it's not an established sector of the industry yet. When it's more established, you will be able to buy them. Because part of the reason is that, I think part of the problem is persuading people that there's enough native Linux software that is usable. For example, going up to a web developer and saying, look, yeah, you've got Dreamweaver, yeah, you've got Photoshop, but if you want to do something of a similar sort on Linux, you can do it with the GIMP and
a web designer.
Well, a web designer then, yeah, whatever. But if you can basically do it, but it's persuading people that they can do it, because the first thing they say is, my applications won't run.
EnView and the GIMP rather
so,
than...
So basically what they need to do is... there isn't enough demand at the moment. There will be in the future because the desktop's going to push on.
I'm quite prepared to believe there's not enough demand for Dell to do it. But nobody is
doing
it.
But there is people.
Who?
There's like...
Really not, right?
If you look in some of the Linux magazines, there's adverts of people who build Linux.
You try and buy a laptop with Linux on it.
I've not seen anything for desktops.
You try and buy a PC with Ubuntu or Debian on it.
Are you telling me there is not one single place in the UK that will sell a Linux desktop? I'm on about with a specific distro. I'm on about there is not one single place in the UK
There is DNUK who will do it, but they are really heavily geared towards servers. I mean, they'll sell you a workstation and they'll put Linux on it, but I want to know when it arrives that it's going to work. And people who are kind of server-focused don't fucking care too much whether you've got hardware acceleration turned on in X.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not what they care about.
Yeah.
They're all about fucking being able to plug 82 RAID arrays into it.
That sounds like a great business plan.
Well, this is the point. I mean, I'm amazed that nobody has done it. There's some firm called GNC or GRC or something in London who are selling machines, but the cheapest machine you can buy off them is about 1,100 quid.
You know,
and it's not a particularly exciting PC, and that's just a chronic ripper. I mean, I don't mind saying... You know, people. Every time I've brought this up with a bunch of Linux people, they said, well, why don't you just build your own machine for about 350 quid and install it? And the point is, I don't want to fucking have to. I don't want to have to understand which motherboard goes with which RAM. I just don't give a shit.
I tell you one place where you can buy a Linux machine, and that's Time Computers. They'll sell you a Linux box with...
Will they sell me a Debian machine?
No.
The major...
But this is the crux of the problem. It's not that there isn't anyone in the UK who is selling Linux machines. There's no one in the UK selling Debian on Linux machines. That's the true thing. There are loads of people selling Lycoris and Mandrake on their machines, but there's no one selling Debian. If you're going to be using Debian anyway, you're probably going to know what you're doing. Now, there's an exception with Ubuntu, I admit. But if you're going to be using Debian, you're going to be knowing what you're doing anyway, and you're probably going to install it yourself on a machine that you know about anyhow. So there's lots of places selling SUSE and Mandrake.
I genuinely don't think there are loads at all. Secondly, like Mandrake, what's happened to Mandrake in the last 9 months?
Not a lot.
Exactly. People are selling Mandrake because they were doing Mandrake installs. Mandrake 10 was 9 months ago, wasn't it?
10.2 is the new one, or 10.1?
Right. But... it doesn't seem to be doing a lot. It's not garnering a lot of stuff. It's losing what market share it has.
Completely. But the fact is that people, as is usually the case, either the most used or the common kind of choice that you get with many of these machines isn't the best option. Most servers seem to come with Red Hat. And I think between us all in this room would pretty much agree that Debian's a better way forward. Yeah. Server software.
But people aren't selling it, and I don't know why.
I think the thing is that
pre-installed desktop machines need to happen.
Yeah, but that's only going to happen when people obviously need a desktop.
It's chicken and egg, though, isn't it? I mean,
the biggest problem
with
multimedia with Linux on the desktop is multimedia support. If you can't put a DVD into your DVD drive and it'll work, and if you can't get your MP3 working in
it, that's a good point.
It's not going to happen. And either they include it, which violates certain legal issues, or they provide a means to get it easily. In the same way that Mandrake, for example, there's a little button you can press and it'll download the Windows fonts and install them for you easily. They can't include them with the software. But they
install MS Core fonts, isn't it?
Exactly, and it just basically
and that's exactly what that package does. And it downloads them and
installs
them.
It downloads them and installs them,
on fly.
I can't believe it's the end of episode 1 of season 2 already.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's mad. It feels like we just recorded
hours and hours.
A shitload of long radio.
But you know, it's come to an end, and we'll see you in 6 months. Thanks for coming.
You guys aren't really going to chain me up in this corner, are you?
No. No, absolutely not.
I told you to hide the chains. Okay, we've done lots of cool things. We've heard lots of cool things. We've talked about lots of cool things. And this is the end of a cool thing. But there'll be another cool thing in 2 weeks' time.
There will be. God, what are we going to do if Matt's not back?
I don't know. Perhaps that's what those chains were for, after all.
I can see you had a plan about this.
It's been fun. I mean, it's been interesting because we've met some cool people recently who obviously do enjoy the Lug Radio vibe. And, in fact, we had a load of bitching from people. What the hell are you looking at?
Don't worry about it.
What?
It's fine.
Okay, right.
He's going to point out that my legs dropped off or something. He's just pointing at
We're not going to notice till we trip over it.
He's just pointing at stuff and he can't speak. Why? What's wrong with you?
I'm just scared I'm going to get chained in this corner.
Fucking Mac user.
Okay. So, yeah, we've met some interesting people who...
Point and click. I can't fucking type anything. My Mac hasn't got a keyboard.
I've only got one finger, therefore.
I've only got one mouse button. It's great for people with one finger. They can use Dasher on there or whatever.
I knew a bloke, actually. I was taught electronics by a bloke that only got one finger on his hand.
Mono finger.
Monofinger.
Was it thalidomide or something? The chemical.
Thalidomide.
Yeah, in pregnancy and stuff. It was
something that flids drink. And
that's thalidomide.
You tell me. I'm tasteless sometimes. You know, this guy taught me electronics and soldering, and you wouldn't believe the way he soldered. He'd like hold it with one finger against his chin, and hold the soldering iron against his cheek with
his finger. That's impressive, man.
And he wouldn't breathe on the joint to make a dry joint.
He was smoking a joint at the same time.
Brilliant. The guy was awesome.
Stop kissing me.
Yeah, so as I was saying,
all the burn marks in his chin gave it away, rather, did they?
Obviously got a couple of scars when he's trying to do it with his pissed.
Yeah, thanks for, by the way, to all the people who have emailed us and in the ISE channel still hanging around and on the forums.
And kept Lug Radio alive during
the Thank you for keeping it alive. I think we were all amazed with just how many people seem to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah, loads of response. And people still in the IRC channel.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's truly
There's more people in the IRC channel now than when we actually finished doing the recording.
They're all going to fuck off again now.
Oh, yeah. There'll be two tomorrow.
They're all going to hide under the table when we come into the channel.
They won't see us.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great, and it's great to be back.
Yeah, the problem with that is it just, like, slash me, hides under table, and you go, no, I can still see you.
Dickwad.
Can you? You're so into the spirit of the things. How is cyber sex for you, if that's your experience of IRC?
It's something that happens to someone else, I'm afraid.
But it's okay, because it's in clear text anyway, so you can just sniff it. It's a bit like real sex. Happens to other people, and you can sniff it.
Sex?
Yonkel truck.
All the time.
What about Yonkeltron?
Nothing about Yonkeltron. That was eight said that.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Oops. I think we missed Yonkeltron's whole trip. Is Yonkeltron back?
When did he go?
He was having
He's taking a trip.
Fucking bad trip.
Oh, bad trip. He started off in North America, ended up in a fucking dry place with some white buildings and some people wearing black clothes. It's a fucking bad trip. Atlantis.
Badger set.
Space 1999, that is, isn't it? White place.
They had shiny clothes, not black clothes.
What was the name of that woman who could change into animals and things? Space 1999.
Charge on ball.
There's some women who can change into animals just whenever they wake up in the morning. I mean,
I saw.
I wouldn't want to name name.
It's not a nice thing. Could,
I've seen animals coming into women.
Anyway,
on the internet.
So thank you.
It's pornography on the internet. Allegedly.
Thank you, ugly women included, for keeping Lug Radio alive.
Love you all.
Actually, of all the women that I've seen who are into Lug Radio, none of them are ugly. That's because there's only Jen.
I can think of one.
Actually, I've not seen Jen, but she sounds very nice on the phone.
She sounded very nice on the phone.
And we'd like to speak to people again.
If you want to send us over some pictures, Jen, you know, run with it. Show at lugradio.org.
Russ, you said you want Russ, to speak to people on the phone. If you want to be in the pictures, we, you know...
We can gimp you out.
It's not our cup of tea, but, you know,
you
share.
You gimp him out.
Share.
I'm sure you do want to gimp for us out.
Shh, don't talk about gimp. I don't get suspicious.
I wonder what all that leather was. And a snooker ball.
You ever tried screwing into a snooker ball to get the mask working?
Hot, no, they're brown, actually.
Hot glue gun is the answer. That's all I'm going to say, hot glue gun.
It is dirty. Anyway.
English girl, you're so well and so loud.
At this rate, the outro is going to be longer than the intro.
Outros are fantastically long.
Nice one. Well, we're adding a few extra minutes on, possibly, if this works out.
Oh,
right.
Hang on. We've got to do something in the intro.
What?
We forgot to say there might be some fucking swearing. Not a lot.
We always
just a little bit of fucking swearing occasionally.
That's just because you're controversial, Mr. Sparks.
You nearly said something else. That's the only word we don't say on Lug Radio.
What? Contraband?
Contraception.
Contraception. Control.
The Vatican wouldn't like us talking about these things.
Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe is the only thing I'm going to mention.
Scunthorpe.
And the fact their own email filters failed.
That was the funniest thing in the whole world.
I come from Scunthorpe, too.
See, I always thought it was Matt that did that.
No,
it's you, is it?
Right. For starters, it's always Jono. Secondly, it's always Johnny Vegas. He does the impression of. Thirdly, he's not from Scunthorpe at all.
Where is Scunthorpe?
Yorkshire.
It's your
Yorkshire.
Your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Eh?
Your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I'd drink Yorkshire tea, me.
It's by Robin Hood Bay, but whereas you get a holiday brochure in Robin Hood Bay, you think, oh, that's nice. Whitley Bay, you think, oh, that's nice. You get on with Scunthorpe, you think, fuck that, I'll go to Grimsby instead.
How the bloody hell is there a Robin Hood Bay? Robin Hood was from Nottingham.
Nah, Robin Hood was from fucking everywhere.
He was from Nottingham. I tell you, Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest came to fucking Calic. You don't see Stan Collymore.
That's not a bad point. It was a while back, wasn't it? God, Sherwood Forest, where it's now in a public park in Nottingham. It used to cover three quarters of the country back then.
Right, so let's...
Ah, country.
No.
Let's wrap this up.
There's no in there.
So tune in 2 weeks' time.
Tune in 2 weeks. In the meantime,
it's definitely going
to
happen.
In the meantime, go to www.seraphidian.com and buy our new album, because it's brilliant. It's called Caged. 7 tracks, 40 minutes, you'll like it.
Get the change. We'll be back next week in a fortnight's time.
Bye-bye.